So, church, I want you to go on a little imagination journey with me. I want you to imagine you're living your life. You're raising your kids, if that's where you are in your life. You're going out to eat. You're spending time with friends and family. You're taking care of your home. You're doing all the things that's a normal part of life. Now, maybe you're doing things you love. You're spending time doing all those wonderful things you love. Or if you're a parent, you're chasing your kids around doing all the things they love. Because parents, let's be honest, how many hours have you spent on a sports field, an auditorium, a stadium, right? It all adds up over time. But you're doing things in your life. Then you wake up one day and you're told, don't go to work. Don't go to school. Don't go out to eat. Don't go see your friends. Don't do any of that. Don't spend any time in your extracurricular activities. Stay home. I guess you don't really have to imagine it, do you? You've lived it. This past year, we have all lived it. In essence, you were exiled. The definition of exile is to be expelled or barred or banned from your native country. In this case, our native country was our normal way of life. It was what we knew. And we had just been exiled from it. Now, my name is Michelle, as Pastor Bill said. I am a part of the team here at Christ the King. And we're currently in a series called Sculpted. And we are learning and studying over this entire month how God is sculpting each of us through every trial, through every season, through every victory, into the people that He desires us to be, into the people He needs us to be here on this earth. So our key verse for the entire series is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So Jeremiah 29 was a letter that was written to the Jewish people who were exiled from their home in Judah to the foreign land of Babylon. Pastor Craig taught last week from Jeremiah 29:4-14. And we learned that in those verses, God, through Jeremiah, told his people how he wanted them to live while they were in exile. They were to build houses. They were to plant gardens. They were to marry and multiply, seek the welfare of the city in which they lived. They were to pray for that city, even though this was not the city they wanted to be in. This was not the city they loved. God called them to seek the welfare of that city and to pray for that city. Don't listen to the false teachings, right? Because they're going to be all around them, and just rely on God's word. And then after 70 years, they would be brought back home because he had a good plan for them. When they would seek him, they would find him, and he would restore them. See, we learned last week, God is a sovereign God. He promised to deliver them from their exile just as he's promised to deliver us from ours. Now, there wasn't much written about those 70 years that they spent in Babylon. But I studied this time in our history. I studied with Bible scholars who are way smarter than me to learn a little bit about the time that they spent those 70 years in Babylon. And what I learned was that even though they weren't able to worship in their church, in their house of God, in their temple, they were able to worship where they were, and they did. They were able to share stories from their ancestors with their children and the future generations. The priest even wrote the stories down so that that information that they were sharing could be carried on from generation to generation to generation, and future generations would know where they came from, what path they took to get to where they are in this season of life. Basically, they spent their exile, this time of exile, growing in their relationship with God and growing in their relationship with each other. God was sculpting them through this entire time. So I ask you, how are you spending your exile? You know, I wish I could say it's over. I wish I could say our exile is done, but I don't think it's quite done yet. You know, people call me the silver lining Michelle because it doesn't matter the situation. I always try to find the silver lining in every situation. And the silver lining I see in the fact that maybe our exile isn't completely over, we're not done with our 70 years yet, means that we still have time. We still have time to grow. We still have time to learn. We still have time to let God sculpt us in the ways that he needs to sculpt us. But you have to allow him to do that. You need to allow him to sculpt you. So I'm going to speak in very general terms today. I'm using lots of examples from my family. And though these may not speak to you exactly where you are in your family, maybe your family dynamics look different, that's okay. Hopefully the message behind them will ring true for where you are in your life and in your story. Now, as I said up front, our exile was rather sudden. I mean, okay, technically we had a warning. I will agree with that. We had a couple months knowing that it could happen, right? But the day it happened, I was in shock. I don't know about you. I mean, like, I was in utter shock when it happened. I don't know if I was thinking, oh, it's never going to happen here. Or maybe I thought, it's not as bad as they're making it out to be. This is going to be no big deal. Boom. It was a big deal. In the course of one day, I was told, close down your business. My husband was sent home to work. My children were sent home from school. My nice little peaceful abode that I had created for myself in my house that I had every day while they were out of it, it wasn't peaceful anymore. Trevor and I are both trying to work because now everything was virtual, so we're both online. We're both trying to work and not drive each other crazy because a lot of our time is spent on the telephone, so we're trying not to drive each other crazy. Our kids had to do their schoolwork online on the internet. And at the time, I'll be honest with you, our internet was not good. So on a daily basis, that little bandwidth was getting a workout of epic proportions, and we honestly didn't know who was going to win the internet war for the day, who was going to get the bandwidth they needed to do the thing they needed to do. We had no clue what was going to happen each and every day. Now, and if you are friends with me on social media when I say Titus and Luna Chronicles, you know, you throw into the mix a dog that's maybe a little bit crazy and so super excited to have you home all the time. And then a cat that's more than a little bit bratty, who doesn't like you being there anyway because it's his house. What are you people doing here? Things can get a little bit chaotic. And it got very chaotic at the York House. But you know what else it got? Yes, it was chaotic. But it was also awesome. All right? And it's so funny to look back and say that now. Suddenly, I was having breakfast with my family. This is something that normally couldn't happen because our schedules were going 5,000 million different directions on any given day, but all of a sudden, we were able to have breakfast together. We were having lunch together. We were having dinner together. It was amazing. We didn't have jobs to commute to, so we had more time, you know, to spend together. We didn't have extracurricular activities to run off to, so we had more time to spend together. So we were spending time talking. We were sharing our worries, because I don't know about you, over the past year, there's been a few worries in our hearts and in our minds. There's been fears. We were sharing what we were happy about. We were sharing what we weren't happy about. We were sharing our lives together. Playing games together, it became normal again. We were spending time doing family game night. Now, for those who don't know me, my husband and my son are sitting right here. So when I point at someone, I'm pointing at them, not just some random person in the congregation. So don't worry about that. Now, I will say, too, through all this, we're spending all this time together. We're eating at home. I was getting pretty sick of cooking, to be honest with you, because normally I would get at least one day a week. I didn't have to cook. You know, we got to eat or whatever. But remember, the restaurants were closed. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. So I was having to cook all the meals. But at the same time, we were together, and we were doing it together. So kids were cooking. Kids were helping to clean up. And if you have teenage boys, they can wash dishes. I learned that this past year. They're capable. So if you have a teenager, show them. Let them do it. They can totally do it, and they're really good at it, too. You just have to stay on them a little bit. So we were doing that together. We were praying together. We were studying together. You know, our prayers even changed during this time. You know, it used to be about our family, you know, whatever audition was coming up or, you know, job stuff or life stuff or whatever stuff. All of a sudden, we were praying for our neighborhood. We were praying for our city. We were praying for our world, our community. Like, the way we prayed changed. We were no longer looking in. We were starting to look out. We were praying for health, like all those things. And we were praying together. Now, if you know me, personally, you know I'm honest. Like, I'm going to be 100% upfront honest with you. I'm going to be transparent with my life. I'm going to share with you what's happening. I'm not going to try to hide anything from you, because I don't think God puts me through the things he puts me through for me to hide them from you. So I'm going to be 100% honest and upfront with you in this message today. Here's the truth of the matter. When our exile began, our family, our lifestyle was in a downward spiral. things were not good. Now, from the outside looking in, you probably thought everything looked great over at the York household. Things were going well. And I'll be honest, I think we thought things were going well as well. But the truth is, I had started a business, and if you've ever started a business, you know how hard it is to start a business. So I'd started a business, and it was taking all of my time. And when I say all of my time, I mean like all of my time, all right? Trevor and I were not seeing each other. And unless you count time asleep as seeing each other or spending time together, which we don't, we weren't seeing each other. Our kids had started all their spring programs, so they were doing auditions, and they were having extra lessons and extra practices and this and that. It was not abnormal for our kids to leave our house at 7:15 in the morning for school and not get home till 9. Now, my day started at 4:30 in the morning. Where do you think I was at 9:30 when they got home? I was asleep. And I was gone before they got up the next day. So we were literally like passing ships in the night. I was not seeing my family. Things were not going well. We were exhausted, and we were barely getting by. Now, I like coffee. If you know me, you know I like my coffee. But it had become like my number one major food group, which is not a good thing, by the way. Don't drink that much coffee. It's not good. So Pastor Craig last week was teaching us on Jeremiah 29. And he was clear, like he told us, Jeremiah 29 was written to a people group. It wasn't written to you, Trevor, right? It wasn't written to you, Charlotte. It was written to an entire people group. But I think it's really important for us to understand and remember that each of you are a part of that people group that this was written to. And in each of you, God is working on these tiny little micro plans that are going to come together for his larger macro plan for the whole people, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? All right, so keep that in mind as we're going through this. I understand Jeremiah 29 wasn't written directly to you, even though you see it on all the cards and everything for graduation, it was written to the people group. But the plan that God has for you and the plan that God has for me is part of his bigger plan, and it's important. Like, we have to remember that. Our piece in this is super important. So what is God doing through your exile? How is he sculpting you, and what is he teaching you? Now, for us and for many, because I read all the polls and all the surveys where they asked people, what did you learn through your quarantine? We're calling it exile today, but what did you learn through your quarantine? And the number one thing that came out of it was the importance of family and the importance of community. Now, how many of you had to rely on your community in the past year? Who needed toilet paper at some point? Yeah, I had to ask a neighbor for toilet paper. Couldn't find it anywhere. So we learned, as a family, we learned the importance of our family, and we learned the importance of our greater community. And we fell in love with our family again, all right? We were spending time together. We fell in love with our family again. And even though things were hard, we were learning and growing so much. God was pushing us outside of our comfort zones, right? Who likes their little comfort zone? This is my little space. I'm good here. I know what happens here. I like my comfort zone. Well, I'm a personal trainer and a health coach, and I tell my clients all the time, if you don't push beyond your comfort zone, you're never going to change. You're not going to make your muscles bigger. You're not going to make your fat smaller. Like, none of those things are going to happen. It's the same for us. Our life will not change if we don't step outside that cushy little box that we've created for ourselves, where we know where everything is all good and kosher for us. If we don't step outside that box, we're never going to change. So God pushes us outside that box. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a 2x4 kid. So I'm one of God's 2x4 kids. Does anybody know what a 2x4 kid is? You shouldn't, because I made it up. All right, so here's what a 2x4 kid is. It's the kid that God has to hit upside the head with a 2x4 to get their attention. That's me. Is anybody with me? I got two. All right, darn it. All right. Oh, good, good, good. There's some more over here. Perfect. So I'm one of his 2x4 kids. And I feel like this exile was exactly what I needed, and I feel like it was what a lot of people needed to push us outside of those zones of comfort so that we would finally look up to him and rely on him. I mean, suddenly, reliance on him was normal. We were relying on him for provision. You know, like financial, I mean, there were financial hardships this past year. There's still financial hardships. And we were relying on him for that sort of provision. We were relying on him for provision of things like toilet paper too, right? Like, we were relying on him for provision. We were relying on him for peace. Because I don't know about you, like, there was some unsettledness in here through all of this. So we were having to rely on him for peace. We were relying on him for health, right? Please keep us healthy and safe through all of this. All this became normal. This was no longer like a select group of few people who were super faithful. Like all of a sudden, we as a people were all relying on him in this way. It was part of our daily life. And don't you think the folks who were exiled to Babylon, don't you think they were in the same boat? I mean, think about theirs, all right? They're here in their nice little comfort zone, their cities that they love. They're sent to a foreign land with foreign leaders, with foreign gods, with foreign foods, with foreign neighbors. Like everything was foreign to them. I can't help but think that my level of shock the day that I woke up and they told me stay home, it had to be nothing compared to what they were feeling in those moments. I can't imagine. But you know what they did? They did what God called them to do. Jeremiah told them what God was calling them to do. He shared that with them. And they built their houses. They got married. They multiplied. They worshiped. They prayed. They prayed for their city. God sculpted them. And through that entire time, he totally worked on them. And 70 years later, God made the way for them to return back to their native land. So just like us, they learned a lot in that time of exile. They were learning, the learning through it is so super important. And I do want to encourage you, like one of my biggest encouragements for you this week is to take some time, sit down, open your hearts, open your ears, open your minds, and really reflect on how did God sculpt you in this past year? So when Pastor Craig asked me to teach on this topic, you know, my husband, he does everything with it. Like, we're a team in most things. So we worked on this a lot together. And so we sat down, we're like, all right, let's really reflect on how did God sculpt us? What did he do and teach us in this past year? So I want to share with you ours, keeping in mind, they may not fit your situation exactly, like I said earlier, but hopefully the message behind it will ring true and it'll kind of get those creative juices flowing for you so that you can really sit down and reflect on how did God sculpt you this past year. So we had three big takeaways for our year. The first one was, just because there's a hole on your calendar doesn't mean you have to fill it. So no is not a bad word. That's what God taught me this year. And this was more of a lesson, I think, for me than for Trevor, because I think he's pretty good at the word no. But for me, he taught me no is not a bad word. Because see, what would happen is somebody would say, oh, could you do this or could you be here or whatever? And I would look at the calendar and I would see, oh, there's a spot right there. It's this big. It's going to take this big of a spot, but there's this big of a spot. So let me just plug it into that little tiny spot. And then I will make my husband and my children and everybody else around my little black hole self come in and help me make happen whatever it is that needs to happen. All right? I would suck them all in there. So as a recovering people pleaser, God taught me this year, you don't have to fill the holes on your calendar and it's okay to say no. He took away all those things that we were focusing on that we shouldn't be focusing on, so that we could focus on what he wanted us to focus on. That was one of our big takeaways. Another lesson he taught us is that we need to spend more time with our extended family. Now, extended family, yes, that means parents, cousins, siblings, you know, it means all those things, those blood family, right? But we are a family. We're a family thanks to Christ. So you're all in my family too. So what we really learned is we needed to start looking beyond all those little goals and all those little things that we were so focused on and spending all of our time on, and look at the people God was placing in our path and in our life that we needed to be spending time with and we needed to be focusing on. So that was a big one for us. And then the third lesson we learned is just because there's a massive and unwanted change in our life, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. For example, one of the biggest ones in ours is I opened a business January 2020. I closed a business March 2020, exactly 2 months later. That was not a change I wanted to happen. I mean, if you've ever started a business, you know it takes a lot of work up front to even get the doors open, right? And to close it 2 months after you got it open, wow, that was a massive and unwanted change. But do you know what else it was? When Trevor's mom fell and broke her leg, and they told her she had to be non-weight-bearing for 2 straight months, I was able to go. We were able to go and help take care of her because we had that freedom to do it. When my mom, after his mom got all better, then my mom ended up having an open-heart major surgery. So the surgery was one thing, but her recovery was another. It was, like, have you ever been on the Blue Ridge Parkway? you know, you got switchbacks and all this stuff. That's what her recovery looked like. Like from day to day, didn't know what was going to happen. But God had closed that business and we could see the blessing in it because I was available to be with my mom and take care of her. Like I had no distractions to keep me from doing that. So even though it was unwanted and it was massive, it was awesome at the same time. We had a kid who was a senior in high school. He's sitting right there. And his prom gets canceled. His military ball gets canceled. School gets canceled. He's not even at school with his friends anymore. Graduation, is there even going to be a graduation? I mean, his whole senior year was just getting shut down. And if you remember your senior year, those things were exciting and fun. And then all of a sudden, his school comes up with, let's have an outdoor drive-in movie theater graduation. It had music. It had fireworks. I'm telling you, you've never been to a high school graduation like this before. So what was unwanted suddenly became pretty awesome. So just because it's massive and unwanted, don't think that it's bad. So we learned a lot as a family. We really grew and we learned a lot over this past year. But do you know what's more important than learning through your exile or being sculpted through your exile? It's more important that you figure out what to do with it after the fact. You can't just keep it to yourself. God doesn't take us through these little things, all these transitions and pivots and all these miracles and all this so that we can keep it within us and not share it with anyone else. We're called to use what he teaches us and make a difference in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our countries. Doesn't matter. He's calling us to make a difference. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God, your Father in heaven." See, he doesn't change you for you. God changes you for his kingdom purposes, and I think it's important for us to remember that. Your post-exile time is a time for you to take all God has done in you so far through your exile and share it with others. In the book of Ezra, you can read about what happens with these folks who were exiled. You can read their whole journey home. It's in Ezra chapters 1 through 6. So what we learn in there is that they were able to return home, but the two most important key pieces of that is that when they returned home, their goal was to worship God and live the life they called them to live. That was the two main things. That's what they were focused on. It wasn't about getting back to normal. It wasn't about going back to what they had left. It was about building something new, growing closer in their relationship with each other, and growing closer in their relationship to God. So let's explore their journey. Like I said, it's in Ezra, chapters 1 through 6. Originally, I was going to read it to you. Lucky you, I have a very sensible and logical husband who said, don't do that. So I have put in your home study notes all the scripture references of their journey home, and I'm going to share with you the story of their journey home in the Michelle words because it'll be much shorter for you. So here's what took place. All right, so God stirred in King Cyrus's heart for the exiles to be returned home. And he also stirred in his heart that the exiles were to build a temple for God once they got there. So Cyrus made this decree. He put it in writing and everything that all the people should return and that the people living in those areas, the other people living in those areas, were to help them. They were to give them the things they needed to make this happen. So God not only made a way for them to come out of exile and return back to their native land, but he also put in there some provision for them so that they could live out this calling that God had placed on their lives. So once they returned, all the people gathered together as one. Now in scripture, it says that they gathered together as one, and I think it's super important that we note that. So they gathered together as one to build an altar to God so that they could make their offerings. Because here's the thing, their law, like the law of Moses, said that they were to make offerings to God. They wanted nothing more than to live out how God was calling them to live. So they wanted to build this offering, this altar for their offerings. Now, notice they came together as one. So the York house didn't build their altar, right? The McKinley house didn't build his altar. Like, there wasn't an altar at each individual house. They came together and they built one together. So they weren't focused on them and them getting to do what they thought they were supposed to do. They were a people. They came back together as one and they built those altars and they made their offerings. But after they got the altar built, they wanted to continue because they were called to build, rebuild the temple to God, the house of God. So they came together with their money, their supplies. They had food and drink and oil, all the things they needed to purchase the supplies and get the workers working so that they could build the foundation for God's house. So they got it laid. They got the foundation laid. So what did they do? They celebrated and they praised God. They just had the foundation built. They didn't have the whole thing built yet, but they were praising God because they got that foundation laid. And it says in Scripture that they gave thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. We know that Scripture. We've heard it. We've sang it, right? So that's where they were. So they were happy. They were celebrating. Things were going. They were living out their calling. So what's next? Opposition, right? Because what happens when you are living out the calling God has placed on your life? People are going to come up against you and they're going to try to stop you, right? But we know it's not the people per se, it's Satan working through those people. So keep that in mind too. So all of a sudden there's some opposition. And if you read in Ezra 4, you'll see those opposers actually won for a little bit. They actually shut down the building of the temple for a little bit. But they knew, these people knew, God told them in Jeremiah 29, I have a plan for you. It is for your welfare. It is for your good. It is for a future. It is for a hope. It wasn't for them to get shut down and stopped, right? So they were bold and they were courageous and they stepped out. They pushed back, and through their pushing back, what happened next is that King Darius made another decree, all right? And he said, I love how it's worded in the ESV. He told the opposers, let them be, let them alone. Like, I love how just how simple it was. Just let them be. Let them build their temple. But God being the God that he is, he also stirred in King Darius's heart, not just that he make a way for them to make that happen, but he also provided. Like, King Darius wrote in his decree that the money required to build it be given to them out of the royal treasury. So here, they're given the money, they're given the green light, they can start building it again. He also said, give them all the stuff they need for their offerings, the wheat, the oil, all those things, day by day, without fail, give it to them. So our God, who not only made a way, he made them a way with all the provision, because our God is above and beyond kind of God, don't you think? He always goes above and beyond for us. He doesn't just give us the little bit. Like, he goes all the way, and then he meets your expectations, and he takes it further. So because of their faithfulness and them not losing all that they had been sculpted in, all the learning they had done over their 70 years, they were able to fulfill God's plan. They were able to return home, and there was a whole lot of celebration when they finished that work. So how do you want to live post-exile? I'll be honest, I don't want things to go back to normal, all right? I'm putting that in air quotes. I don't want things to go back to normal because normal wasn't working. Just like the exiles to Babylon, they didn't come back to their normal. They came back and they built something new. They built something better. So throughout our lives, God has taken us through all these little transitions, all these little pivots, all these little things that are personal to us and our families on a personal level. And when we experience them, they are for us to learn something, to change something, to do something new. But then we're to use them to impact God's kingdom. So if you think about it, this past year, we all collectively went through a pretty massive transition. Our exile was big, right? Our lives changed. It doesn't matter where you were in this, your life changed in some way. We all went through it. What would happen if all of us came together as one, took what God has taught us over the past year, and used it to make an impact in our world? Do you think we could make a pretty massive impact together as one? Can my family make an impact on its own? Can your family or you individually make an impact in this world on your own? Absolutely. But if we come together as one, join together, band together, we can make a huge impact. So my question for you today is, are you ready to make an impact? Like, are you truly ready to sit down, figure out what God's shown you, and make an impact on your world? He promises, God promises, he's going to do this with us. He's going to be alongside of us the whole time, and he's going to give us what we need to make it happen. So are you ready? So as I wrap up today, I just want to leave you with three things. The first one is, we aren't the first and we're not going to be the last. So exiles and transitions and pivots, whatever you want to call it, they have been taking place since Adam and Eve, all right? We're not the first, we're not going to be the last. These things are going to continue to happen. But the second thing I want to leave you with is take some time this week and really reflect on how God has been working in you and through you over this past year. And as I said, God sculpted us in the sense that we now know it's okay to say no. We know we need to spend time with the people that God's placed in our lives, and that these massive unwanted changes are not always a bad thing. They're sometimes a blessing in disguise. So how is he sculpting you? Take some time this week and really open your eyes and your ears and your heart to hear how he's wanting to change you. But then the third thing I want to leave you with is get to work. All right, how are you and your family going to continue what God has taught you this year? So Trevor and I sat down, we really thought through this as well. Like, how are we going to make a difference this year? How are we going to move forward? And the first thing is that, you know, we're going to slow down. When we're asked to add something to our calendar or to be a part of something, we're truly going to sit down. We're going to reflect on it. We're going to pray to God and ask him, is this a part of our family's mission? Because our family has a mission. Your family has a mission. So you have to ask yourself, is this thing going to further the mission God's placed on our family or not? So you have to ask those questions. That's one thing we're going to do. We're also going to make time for people outside of our family. We're going to get outside of our four walls, and we're going to make time for the people that God is placing in our lives, whatever that might look like. Yes, that's parents, and that's siblings, and that's cousins, and things like that. But it's everybody that God places in our life. We are going to make time for them. And then we're going to embrace those massive and those unwanted and those sudden changes that come, because we know God has a plan in it. We know that he's doing it for a reason. He has a plan for our family, but the plan for our family is a part of a bigger plan, and we need to do our part to make a difference. So I do hope that you're all ready to impact this world, because I think we, if we band together, if we come together and take all that he's taught us, we as a people can make a difference in not just this community, but in the world, because I think we'll all agree there needs to be some work done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I praise you and I thank you so much for this day, God. I thank you for moms and for Mother's Day and the opportunity to get to love and celebrate them today, God. God, I do pray for you to open our hearts. I pray for you to open our minds, open our ears to hear what you have for us in this past year as well as moving forward. God, I pray that we take the time to reflect and learn how you've been sculpting us, how you've been changing us, how you have been molding us into the people that you need us to be so that we can get out there and impact this world, God. And God, I pray that we all have the boldness, the courage, and the faith to step out and live out the mission that you're placing on each of our families, God. God, I pray too, if there's anyone in this room today that does not know you, God, I pray that they hear you knocking on their heart and that they'll open that door and let you in. So there'll be much celebration in heaven. God, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for loving us. And it's in the precious and most holy name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give it up for Michelle. Show him some appreciation. So, you know, out of that, you know, the whole idea of that God uses everything, even a pandemic. It says in Romans that God doesn't waste anything, that he's going to transform everything to his good. It's a matter of, are we going to see it? Are we going to let the Holy Spirit work in us to see what that is? And, you know, for me, I've been examining myself over the last, you know, year and seeing, for me, it's community. It's like, I want to be in community. I want to be in a relationship. And we're called to do that. And that really leads us into our offering time. As we look at our offering, we're going to celebrate our community groups. Next week is our sign up for community groups. And I want to encourage every single person here. We have groups from middle school, high school, college age, adults, online, in person. And it's through the offerings that we're able to provide all of these community groups. And so as you pray about what you want to give, you can give it online, you can give it through text message, you can give it through a check or mail it in, is get connected with the community. You'll get some more information next week on how to sign up, but that is so important. And for me, that's what this last year has been about, is how am I staying connected to people? And as we're talking about signing up on May 12th, Wednesday, May 12th, is our annual blood and food drive. Of course, you can bring food in anytime, and we want to encourage you with that, because we have an amazing food pantry that gives out food to the homeless and people in need throughout our areas. but our blood drive, you have to go online to sign up for Wednesday, May 12th, and find a spot at ctkcharlotte.org, and you can sign up for that. You know, most of us have some spare blood we could share. Adrian, you have spare blood you could share? Yeah, so Adrian's going to sign up. So, you know, because he has some spare blood. I have spare blood. Most of us do. And so also, this last Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. And the National Day of Prayer, you're going to see some pictures behind me, is we got together, Christ the King got together with Steel Creek Church and Good Shepherd Church, and we met at Steel Creek, and we had an amazing prayer and praise and worship service. These three churches, different denominations, backgrounds, we came together in the name of who Jesus Christ is. And this is an amazing thing. The three senior pastors, you'll see their pictures up there on board, on the wall. And it's about rebuilding our communities. It's exactly what Michelle talked about. And that's amazing how that fit together. We had a prayer night last October. We had this one. We're going to have one later in the summer or early fall over at Good Shepherd, because we want to, all up and down the quarter 49 in South Carolina, North Carolina, come together for the Lord Jesus Christ, because none of us are in competition. You know, it's an amazing night. And as we wrap up today, just know that it is Mother's Day too. And Michelle thought I was going to forget that. And it is Mother's Day too. And what would a Mother's Day service be without some thanking of our mothers, since we have this great video?
In every way to be extra sweet on Mother's Day, but if you become upset with me, please relax and have a cup of tea. When God created mothers, all as lovely as can be, He made one extra special and saves her just for me. Mommy, I love you. Mommy, I love you. For all that I do, I'll kiss you and hug you, 'cause you love me too. You feed me and you need me to teach you to play. So smile, 'cause I love you on this Mother's Day.
A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come that may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all are forsaken, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret, like the mysteries of creation. And many splendid miracles men cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand.
Here's wishing you a Mother's Day that's filled with every pleasure, and a future that's as happy as the memories you treasure.
Happy Mother's Day!
Yeah! You know, those kids are great. And you know, celebrate your moms. If your mom's not around here, give her a call. But a special call out to some of our teenagers. I see teenagers down here. Your parents put up with a lot. Spend some time with them. Share them with some joy and some love. And, you know, just love on your moms. And we'll see you guys next week.